Welcome, everybody. This is BNP Weekly. It is episode 90. We are closing 100, and it is 6th of July, 2020. And my name is Vesa Juvonen. I'm from the OneDrive SharePoint platform team. And in the BNP Weekly, we always cover what has happened within the last week. And we typically have a visitor. We were going to talk about random topics with related on the visitor who we have. But now, before we go to the visitor of this week, let's actually throw it to the other co-host. So, Waldeck, who are you? What do you do? And then let's check who is our awesome visitor this week.
Hi, everybody. I'm Waldeck.
And that's
I am head of product at Rancor, ISV in Munich. And today we have a guest, longtime MVP. You probably know him from his many courses on many different size areas. Probably a lot of stuff done in the Angular space. But since a few days in a new role, as a M365 cloud developer advocate, Mr. Dan Wallin. Welcome, Dan.
Hey, welcome. Thanks for having me, guys. Yeah, I'm pretty excited. Fifth day on the job. So, you know, I know how to spell my name at this point.
So, you know, your alias already, that's a great start. You can access Teams and you can send emails and all of that stuff. So, and your inbox probably haven't exploded yet, which is great.
No,
it's going to explode sooner or later.
I actually, the person I report to, I did make a comment about that. I said, I'm loving this zero inbox, and this is how it's going to be, right?
And it's like, yeah. You just wait.
Yeah, that's pretty much, that was the response.
Yeah. We're seeing more and more people actually. Even earlier today, I was sending an email where it went to some marketing people, and they had an automatic out of office, which was saying, sorry, I'm not in email, I'm in Teams, which is interesting. Are we going to get there? So what's your opinion? Just before we actually get on other topics.
So I'll have to admit, I had only used Teams up until joining Microsoft, you know, a week ago. I had used Teams purely for this, for video calls. That's it.
Yeah.
And of course, that's changed within a week very quickly. And I'll have to admit, I am loving it because I can totally see like that out of office, whatever message you mentioned.
Yeah. Yep.
Like I'm all for, yeah, let's just set up a chat on Teams and do it that way because it's so much more productive for me. I mean, I'll give you a quick example. We'll get into it, I'm sure, but I'm going to be with Fluid and I'm kind of a Microsoft 365 / Azure Bridge type guy because I come with a lot of Azure background. And one of the first things I'm doing is trying to figure out all this stuff and how it relates. And so, you know, I've set up some OneNote documents already, right in Teams. I haven't used the wiki yet, but we're probably going to use that. So anyway, long story short, it's so nice to go to one place and have it instead of going through email and going, where did I put that, you know, that document. So it's been really nice, I'll have to admit.
And except, well, obviously, at least personally, but my only kind of a downside, and I'm a Finn, I'm always thinking about negatives, I can't help it, but but Teams is absolutely brilliant. But then at the same time, after being in the company for quite a few years, you ended up having, like in my case, I'm like in a 250 team. So you have no way for following up on 250 inboxes in the team. So that the prioritization and pinning and everything else is then super efficient or important as well. Now, okay, so that's about that. So let's actually get back on down to you. So can you do a quick intro? What you've done in the past? And then let's get back to your new role and what does it actually mean in practice? Because I don't think everybody knows what is a cloud advocate, but what's your kind of a historical background?
Yeah. So my history is I read a couple books on technology over the weekend, and I think I can do it. kind of an interesting way I came into this role. I did not set out to actually even apply for this role. I've run a consulting and training company for the past 20 years. And during the whole COVID thing, really realized that, you know, it's kind of like everybody's like, I just want to go out. And I'm like, this is nice staying home because I used to travel a lot. You know, sometimes 2 to 3 weeks a month I'm gone. And, you know, when you have a family, that gets a little tough. Done that for many years. And so that was the kind of the first thing. And then in April, I got an email from someone on the dev advocacy team at Microsoft saying, hey, there's this new role. And I saw kind of office there. And I went, because I come from more of a, I'll just say open source slash line of business background. And so at first I'm like, nah, probably not, you know, because I just don't. We used to do a lot of SharePoint, actually, but I haven't done that in probably 10 years.
Yeah, it's a quite, kind of a different world nowadays.
It's got a lot better, by the way. Cab files, and what were those called? WSPs or something like that?
Yes, correct. There you go.
Yeah, it was rough back in the day. But anyway, so as I learned more about this role they're offering, I said, you know, now might be a good time for a change, because I was kind of anxious to, you know, I've been doing the same thing. And most of what we do, we're a small company. We work with consultants usually and a lot of companies around the world. But, you know, the whole travel thing, and it gets a little redundant over time. Yeah. Not like I won't travel with the new job. Eventually I will, but not as much, you know.
Yeah.
So long story short, I decided to go through what they call the interview loop, which you've been through, Vesa. And, yeah. Basically, for those that don't know what that is, you kind of go through mine was about 5 to 6 hours of just nonstop interview. In fact, we really didn't have a break. It was kind of like, wow. All right, well, like, I'm going to talk to you for an hour, and then I'm going to get Vesa for an hour, and then I'm going to get whatever for an hour, and just about 5 or 6 hours straight. Wow. Great people, though. And it was a good opportunity to learn more about what's going on with M365, Fluid, this upcoming framework, you know, some plans on Azure, things like that. And I went, this actually sounds really fun. So that's how I got here. So yeah, as I've already mentioned, this is now officially my fifth day on the job, because with the 4th of July here in the US, we were off on Friday. So,
yeah, right.
Although I spent the whole weekend putting together a prototype, so I guess it's now my 7th day on the job, but you know, you kind of get excited about it and like, I got to do something.
Yeah.
So my role to answer that question is really to advocate for the Fluid framework. And then I'll be also kind of integrating a little more with M365 technologies and then also Azure technologies. So that's the cloud advocate part of it.
In a way, like we've been talking in the BMP Weekly as well. So whenever you're doing extensibility in the Microsoft 365, you always take advantage of Azure. So it's not going to go away.
Eventually,
The bots or the website, if it's hosted there, or a backend web API, which you call in a secure way. So the Azure is definitely there in the behind of the scenes, regardless. So I think the M365 is just an abstraction layer on top of Azure. So
exactly.
One way of thinking that. So.
Yep.
And then Fluid framework. Do we want to talk about that one? So I just related on that one for those who are not aware. So I think the preview of Fluid framework actually came out, or the Fluid canvas came out in January, if I remember correctly. Obviously, internally, we've been testing around that one quite a few times. But really, the real-time collaboration in the files and documentation, and then sharing individual bits and pieces of those documents part of your collaboration platform. And that's actually pretty cool. Or how would you put that one, Dan, just out of curiosity?
No, you actually summed it up perfect. Yeah, literally, it's a real-time collaboration framework. I was excited about it because I got early access once I decided to accept the position. I got early access to some of the internal stuff going on.
Yep.
And they were using all the cool toys, I'll say, that I like to use.
Modern web stack development, TypeScript, all of this
all
stuff,
that
right?
Stuff. Yes, yeah. TypeScript.
Yeah.
You know, there's some Kubernetes behind the scenes and Docker containers and all kinds of fun stuff. And I love all that stuff. So I was pretty excited about that. But yeah, in a nutshell, I think I've already had friends reach out and go, so is it just Google Docs, you know? And it's like, no, it's not Google Docs. Yeah, you could do the same thing as Google Docs if you wanted. In fact, the preview that you mentioned, you know, already has some demos of that you can go to. But no, it's more about take any application, and let's just say right now, Waldeck, we're in agenda planning, right? Well, we could go in and I'll just call them widgets for lack of a better word for now.
Yep.
But we could add in these real-time widgets that would allow us to do everything from to-do lists to just raw text to a whole bunch more stuff that's planned. So all real-time. So it's pretty exciting because you could do that on your own technically, right? Yeah. I mean, you could do WebSockets and
a lot of low level programming, sending things forwards and backwards, trying to make sense out of them. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, and the more, and that was my first thought when I heard about it, was like, I'll just do WebSockets.
Exactly.
Like, I don't need this, you know. But then you get thinking about it and thinking about syncing, like if there's three of us and we're all doing this at the same time, how does that sync up in the final doc?
Yeah.
You know.
Hit merge and then conflict.
Exactly. Yeah, can you imagine? Approve. Nope. Approve. Nope. It'd be a mess. So, you know, they do a lot of that low level stuff that they have these DDSs, they call them. And it's basically objects that can exchange data in different ways. And they take care of all that plumbing so that you, with just a really minimal amount of code, can kind of build this into to virtually any app that can run JavaScript at this point.
Yeah.
Which is a lot, because we have add-ins, we have Spas, we have web parts, we have Teams tabs, we have, it's everywhere.
Everything.
Like if you look at the Microsoft cloud and beyond even, like it's everywhere, really.
I agree.
And the potential is quite huge, obviously, because then it's not about just about Microsoft cloud, to be honest, as well, because there's always the realities of life that need to be able to communicate with other people. And if it's JavaScript-based implementation, hey, it just
works. An API at the end. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. So as long as you have a one version of truth somewhere, basically, in this case, yes, it would be stored in Microsoft Cloud. But hey, so of course, because anyway, so I'm just digging a hole and trying to figure out what I'm saying. Anyway,
I do that all the time. Yes. From a family perspective, my wife would say I'm still in the hole and I'm probably never going to get out. So.
So related on, let's come back on the technology in a bit. But just out of curiosity, considering the, let's say, the situation in the world where we cannot travel, everybody's staying home, how's your onboarding situation going? So have we done a good job? And any tips for anybody who's recruiting now, externally people, not in Microsoft, or recruiting to another company? New people and using the remote tooling. So any tips on that?
Well, first off, normally, I guess, and Vase, I'm guessing you probably did this at some point, you know, normally, I guess you kind of fly to the mothership and go through the training, right?
Yeah.
That's obviously not an option right as of today. So, yeah, what they did, they had to, the lady that put this on from HR, she did a really good job, I thought, because you got to imagine, you know, all of a sudden, something that you've had in place for years is now completely uprooted and now nobody can fly there. It's like, what do you do? You know, and the simple answer is, oh, you know, you just get Teams or one of the other options. But, you know, we all know that, especially when you got to sit through, mine was 2.5 hours. And when you got to sit through 2.5 hours of
on
this.
Teams.
Or whatever.
Good luck with that.
Right.
Yeah.
That gets a little boring maybe. So I thought they did a great job. They first off brought in multiple people from other Microsoft teams that are not HR related, and they shared their stories. They shared, you know, which I can kind of relate to, the challenges initially, because you know, like nothing as far as the company goes.
Yeah. And the terminology and all of the unknown
abbreviations,
which is it's not just a joke. There's a lot of them and you have no idea, because
I learned about VESA, the you know, the AKMS, which a lot of people outside know about that. But you can go to the, you know, our internal kind of HR web thing, and there's a glossary actually, because there's so much terminology out there. You can actually type in these acronyms that people say. And I've already been in meetings where I'm like, you know, it's like me going, well, Waldeck, since you're separate, right? It's like me going, hey, Waldeck, so yeah, we're going to take that CSRV and move that over to the POP. And then we're going to take the ABC with the XYZ. And you're just
WTF.
Just like, I didn't understand a single part of that sentence, right?
Yes.
So there's a little bit of that. But what they did was they brought in some volunteers, which I thought was pretty cool, because they shared their experiences. You know, they went through the normal stuff, the benefits packages, which at Microsoft is phenomenal. But what they did that kind of break it up was, first off, they had a lot of kind of stop and Q&A in the chat, where we'd actually respond. And then we did these breakout sessions. And so the volunteers would take a small group, and then we just literally talked for about, I don't know, 30 minutes, just asking questions. And it was funny, in my group, you know, I know on camera I only look about 28, maybe 29 years old. I wish.
Pretty much, yeah. All good.
we had a lot of new hires straight out of college. And well, they asked, well, what have you learned in your breakout session? And I learned, I'm getting old. That's what I learned.
I'm tired already, and it's only 30 minutes, right?
Yeah, well, you know, 21, 22, you know, just fresh out of school.
All energy, so. Like all energy.
Oh, yeah. They were super excited, obviously. It was cool to talk to them. But yeah, that's what we did. It was all Teams. And aside from that, they set up a Yammer kind of group for us that we can go in and just chat questions.
Yammer group, not a Teams team, rather Yammer group.
No, just that out of one, curiosity. Yeah, that one, they didn't use Teams. They used...
That is on purpose. That is on purpose.
A community platform. And expose you. Yeah, that's a good point, technology. Actually.
Yeah, that's it, they probably did
do Teams at Yammer.
Yeah. That's right. So, yeah, it's been pretty, I'd say, really smooth, actually, the first week.
Yeah. Ooh. I can imagine. It's definitely a different world. Obviously, when I joined, it was completely different again. But I know that there was like 4 weeks on site in Seattle. Everybody who's joining Microsoft at some point, that was University. Yeah. And, wow. And they got a lot of feedback related on, that's not a fun for family. So they needed to shuffle that again. So, but it,
well,
it's one
you
of those
bring
things
your
where,
family with you.
That's an option. Of course, it is an option.
Or you used to, at least. Nowadays, yeah.
If you can, because it's not like everybody's wife can just
take 4 weeks off in the middle of a year.
Yeah. So having this remote way of working is obviously much more, and even training and onboarding is much more, let's say, family friendly and much more inclusive, because it means also that you actually can, we as a Microsoft or as a, let's say, an external company who's recruiting people, they can reach anybody in the world.
Yeah,
so there's
right.
So many opportunities rather than
our talent,
forcing people
yeah.
to move over, so that the talent pool is much bigger. So.
I totally agree. Yeah, I'm in Arizona and I don't have to move, because for me, kind of like you guys, that would have been a deal breaker for me, because we're pretty established here and my family doesn't want to move. Yeah, so it works out really well.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. Why would you move to Seattle anyway? No. Nothing wrong with Seattle. No. The weather is slightly different than Arizona, I can imagine. But
yeah, well, being in Arizona, I completely agree with your statement. So real quick side story. My wife grew up in Portland and lived in Vancouver, Washington, which is right across the border.
You would be familiar with that, yeah.
And so she's quite familiar with the rain. And let's just say she hates rain. So yeah, moving was not an option.
Now she's in a better place, right?
Yeah. Well, we are, I don't know what it is in Celsius. We're probably 40. What's 42 Celsius? I'd have to do the calculation.
80,
I think we're going to be 110 today. Fahrenheit.
That is a lot. Yeah, that is a lot.
So it's hot, but it's only for a few months.
Yep. And obviously your houses and everything else has been built for it. So as an example, in Finland, when it hits 85 Fahrenheit pretty recently, that's why I have that aircon thingy and it looks ugly, because I have to have it, because it's otherwise hot. It's just no way to do that. And the houses are not built for that hot. That's
Exactly.
Anyway, should we get back on the
weather for the week is going to be a little bit overcast with the blue skies.
Yes, thank you.
Isn't that a typical Netherlands? Guys, 43 Celsius. That's where we're going to be today.
That's rough.
It is rough.
You want to stay indoors, I believe.
Yeah. Luckily here, a lot of people, swimming pools are very common.
Yeah.
So, and air conditioning. So we're good.
Now, if only you had a laptop or a device that you can use while swimming pool without the risk of being electrocuted.
You know, I should have got a floaty and done this with my laptop floating in the pool.
You're like, why are you onboarding so weird? And he's like, I don't know. it's all fluid in here.
There you go, see? Good tie-in, Walde.
Now, let's get back on the role and the future. So I think they've explained to you what are they expecting you to do in your new role as a cloud advocate. And basically, there's actually quite a few cloud advocates in the Microsoft. Typically, they've been in Azure side of the house, but it actually makes a lot of sense now to start bridging things, because for those who do not know, Microsoft has been built in this sort of weird way where we have Microsoft 365 and then we have Azure, and they're basically two completely different organizations. But this is already a great start that we'll start completely mixing things. And to be honest, Dynamics and Power Platform and Power APIs are already across the boundaries, so to say. But can you explain what does the cloud advocate do? What is the expectation? How are you being kind of created? Are you doing a good job or not a good job?
Yeah, so the role itself really, it's number one is to let the, we'll call it public, know about what's going on and to be able to take that feedback directly to the team. You know, a lot of times you can submit a user voice or, you know, something like this, send an email, but you never know if anyone reads it, right?
Yep.
So
then get the typical response back. We added in our backlog. And thank you for your feedback.
Great feedback.
There you go. That's just an auto response. Thank you for your feedback. Anyway, so one will be kind of an advocate on both sides of, you know, especially once we get back to conferences that are in person, things like that, even on the online conferences. As people have questions, whether it's once it's open sourced, you know, on the project itself, directly in person, we're going to be doing, you know, I do a lot with video, so I'm sure I'll be doing a ton of video articles, things like that. Code samples, hopefully with you guys on the PNP site, because you had a lot of great stuff on there. I was impressed. Yep. It's a lot of in really impressive content on there. So I suspect at some point we'll kind of migrate to that as well. Right now, my role is I've been kind of day one. As soon as I learned how to log in, the first thing I did actually before I even started was have some meetings with some of the PMs on the Fluid team. And so, you know, I've met Peter and Nick are two of the main folks that I've met there from Fluid. And they have a real robust background in M365 concepts and all that. So they're kind of my go-to guys right now. But getting to know them, like tomorrow I have a meeting with someone on the engineering side that we're just going to talk about some things. And so it's been good though, because keep in mind, I'm coming from a totally outsider view.
Which is good.
A lot of these folks have been at Microsoft for a long time. Even longer than you, Vesa.
Yes.
And
that really makes me feel old.
No, what do you mean? They are even longer.
Yes.
don't talk about old, because I can tell you're way under me. So. But I'm jealous. That's why I say that. But it's been good that way, because now we're starting the dialogue on different things that, you know, right now it's just me, but there'll be another person on board as well that's going to help with Fluid. Yeah. They just today announced one graph person and two teams people on the new M365 kind of cloud advocate team.
Yeah.
In fact, one of the articles I saw you showed, Vesa, was by one of them, actually.
Yes, correct.
So anyway, so part of the role will be interacting with the team directly to, first off, I just got to dig in deep, right, to what's going on.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, Waldeck, you're going to be like, hey, Dan, how do you do this? And I'm going to be like, Well,
let me get back to you on that one.
Yeah, let me get back to you. Yeah, you know, I've had access to it for not very long. I did get it running though. That's good start.
That's a good start. Absolutely.
Everything's private right now. So I did get it running. So I think the other big thing though will just be putting together some learning plans for people to, you know, if one of you is interested or a listener is interested, like, how do we get started with this? Well, they're gonna have a website for that. Yep. But then, you know, once you get past Hello World and some of the basics, like, now what? And so we'll be working on that as well.
Yeah, cool. Makes a lot of sense. Because first of all, so we talked about this one quite a few times in this episode, that when you work with, for example, in a BMP, we work with a group of MVPs and PMs and everything else, you work in your bubble and you don't actually realize that not all of the other people are at the same level as you are on understanding the things, which then actually messes up the mindset of being, oh, I need to do something super technical and super high end, which is no, that's not what people want. People want to have getting started and then gradually getting more deeper on the understanding of things. So,
and also another thing, and that will probably make me sound really old, but like in the past, we used to learn from books. right. So yep. if you wanted to learn, I don't know, ASP.NET or something, like, you would buy a book, you would read it from beginning to end, and you would have a robust way to learn it, and you would know it in and out in a way.
Yep.
Today there's an article about that, blog post about that, video about that, and you kind of learn things, you get it to work, but you don't understand it fully because you only learn fragmented bits and pieces, right? So I get, like, having a learning plan kind of replicates that, let's say, a structured way to learn, like you would have either in a course or in a book. So I think that that is a more solid way to learn, as opposed to just read an article here, check out sample there, and kind of think like I'm an expert now. No, you're not.
Yeah, it's hard. I remember back, this will really date me, but back in the VB3 days, not VB6, VB3. Wow. This is like, I was literally
way back when.
And in fact, that's how I first learned about, VBA back in the day. I literally used to automate Excel. We literally Excel had, it still can do it, but you could point it to a web page and it would kind of suck in the web page into the cells. Yeah. Yeah. And then you'd know which cell to go to. And that's how we used to screen scrape. No joke. We used to grab a web page, bring it into Excel, and then we had some code that would grab the cell and then update a database. This was like in the 90s. Like,
it seems like everybody uses Excel for everything except the thing that was intentionally made to do. Seriously. Like, you talk to folks like, yeah, so I do this. You do it where? In Excel. What? And then like people do like weird kind of thing, like scrape size.
To be fair, I think Excel is quite popular for the purpose it's being used as well. But it's a good point.
It can do many things.
Surprisingly, exactly.
On that subject real quick, I want to use, they have a new money feature where you can tie it into your bank account, I saw.
Yeah.
Yeah, correct.
And it looks pretty cool, actually. Like, I would love that because then I don't have to go through some third party website, you know?
Sure. Well, and also now the fact that you can write TypeScript in Excel. So no VBA anymore. You can just program TypeScript again Excel. Like, how cool is that?
That's very cool. I love TypeScript, so very cool.
Cool.
But now, to wrap that up, our thought on books, Waldeck, it made me think of back in the VB3 days, if you didn't know the answer, you went to the bookshelf. And if it wasn't in one of those books, you just suffered.
It didn't exist. It didn't exist, right? Like the whole truth was in a book. Like you would go to the back, index, there, done, answer, there you go.
And nowadays the answer is actually in a GitHub issue list, right? So quite often you comment in a GitHub issue list, which is, that's how I do that.
I have been there all day today, guys, with something I'm working on right now. I've lived in GitHub issues today.
Yeah. But it's the most up-to-date version of the truth, because you get the early previews on, we didn't have a time to document this yet, but here's how it works. And we'll document it at some point, which, try to get the documentation out. But it's interesting how the world has changed, absolutely. Now, from a timing perspective, let's actually jump to the articles and then wrap up the discussion after that. So just to run through what has happened within the last week across the M3S S5 side of the house, updating you, Dan, on what's happening as well. So.
Excellent.
I think you've anyway gone through all of this stuff. I'm catching up on what's happening. First of all, on the Teams, so there was a June update on what's coming in Teams, and also probably the most weighted one within the Teams is finally getting the 7x7. So that's 49, unless I'm completely mistaken.
Plus one.
So it's basically right. 50. Yeah. That's an issue. I haven't seen this in practice. I think I saw 15 or 16 of the PMs in our organization in one call. And then somebody started trying a guitar and then everybody was humming there. And that was actually pretty cool because you'd see everybody there. Yeah, it was a really weird moment, but worked out really
well. You wouldn't know the show, but in the US, Jimmy Kimmel does stuff like that. If you watched him at all, maybe you do know. That kind of reminds me of that. I'm waiting for the 1,000 by 1,000 so that everybody's like the size of a pixel. You know?
All hands meeting at Microsoft. Like everybody's in.
Oh, that would be interesting. Boom. That would be so interesting. Now, a lot of actually announcement in this one. We'll obviously link it in the blog post. Something just to call out. Good to see that our device manufacturers are getting Teams signed off as well. So I don't have that Bose model, but that seems to be now most up to date. And then on the dev platform, I know that there's some new announcements coming actually pretty soon in here as well. But there's incoming webhooks for the adaptive cards. And there's a lot of love on this side related on the chats as well. But from a timing perspective, let's actually jump on the next article. Just to call out introduction on OneDrive features to share and collaboration across work and life. So a lot of actually new features in OneDrive. To be honest, I don't know why this is in Microsoft 365 blog, but that's in the Microsoft Teams blog. But anyway, so it's slightly weird how this are always communicating. But there's actually something which is super important for SharePoint people. Well, I wouldn't use mandatory metadata for OneDrive files or site files, but there's a lot of customers who do. And now we actually support those. Synced metadata support for the metadata as well, which is actually pretty cool. And a lot of new improvements here as well. So cool stuff. Now, SharePoint had the June 2020 announcement as well. Kathy Du had a nice discussion related on branding setup. Kathy used to be actually on the dev platform side of SharePoint, but now on the branding side. A lot of announcements here as well related on integrations with Microsoft Teams. Actually transforming any of the classic sites to be a communication site, which is actually pretty cool as well. So basically moving to this more modern portal experiences, and then you can absolutely surface that portal in the Teams. So you can actually have a nice combination of collaboration and then portals in Teams. A lot of additional announcements as well. Fluid design system is gradually getting in there as well. That's going to be visible in the dev tooling as well. And obviously improvements in lists, which are all available in the Microsoft Teams as well. So it's a lot of interesting stuff here. Now, moving on to the dev side, lab around Microsoft Craft Toolkit day 12, there's a big season 2 ongoing. And this is from Baldwin Nug. A success story is with Microsoft Craft enabled apps. So basically partner stories related on the Microsoft Craft usage and how they've been built and calling out the different stories. I think these are super, super interesting always, because if you have an API, the number one question is, okay, cool, but what do I do with this? So having the scenario, having the understanding on, oh, I can do that, and then you can take that idea and transform that to be something else is super valuable.
Real quick, I think this is one of the most underutilized features of M365, actually. Like, I think more and more people need to know like what you can do with it, because it's pretty amazing.
Absolutely. And especially now that Microsoft Craft API Surface is absolutely brilliant, and the Craft Toolkit makes it so easy to integrate on top of it. So absolutely brilliant job. And therefore, the whole team who have been working on that. Now, Vincent Piret had an update here related on duration of change tracking tokens for identity education resources. Quite a significant, actually, change, reduced to 7 days instead of 30 days on the token lifecycle. It's definitely good to be aware, and hopefully there's nobody who's getting impacted by this change as such. Vincent, by the way, also an ex-MVP who moved into Microsoft. So, Dan, you didn't know that, so I wanted to do the connection there as well.
Nice.
It's good to see a lot of MVPs actually getting also working in Microsoft and getting that experience. We talked about TypeScript in Office and simplified API for Office scripts. And obviously, there's updates for Office scripts. And Office scripts are basically the thing. So you can actually build then TypeScript and take advantage of automations in the Office by using the Office scripts. I think this is really, really cool from an automation perspective. Breaking change is Microsoft Teams beta API is calling out for Nick Kramer, and could be aware if it's in beta, it's understandable that it might be a breaking change because we don't guarantee if it's not in the 1.0 Graph API. So it's super important to be aware of that as well. So basically, personal application API surface has been slightly changed. So if you're building something in here in this area, have a look on the details from Nick on that. And then a lap around Microsoft Graph Toolkit Day 13, Toolkit with React. So how to actually build that React or single page applications with that setup. So really cool stuff. And I don't, this is like two lines of code, or well, less than 10 anyway, to build that agenda and to-do list and all of that in React. It's actually pretty cool. So cute. And then something slightly more closer to Valdec. Do you want to actually talk about this one? Because you are responsible of this side of the house.
Yes, for a part. So I co-owned together with three other guys, O355CLI. And since a week, we are available in the Azure Cloud Shell as one of the default tools that are there. So if you want to use it, like, there's no need for you to install anything, don't care about dependencies. It's just available there. So, like, this is a really huge milestone and so cool to see something that was built open source, like totally non-Microsoft owned project, yeah, developed in the open and now pulled in, like, being in Azure. Like, there, it doesn't awesome. Get bigger. It yeah. doesn't get bigger than that. So yeah. it's pretty cool.
That's how it should be. And trust me when I say that when I started in Microsoft in 2006, and if somebody would have said what you just said, what had happened for this, we would think, no.
Well, so first of all, right, like it runs on Node. So in Microsoft back exactly. then, it was like, what?
Yeah.
And then it's like open source, open like source. What?
Yeah.
And
exactly.
then you build it on a Mac, like what? Yeah. Right. So it's like, yeah. like just three reasons not to do anything with that. And nowadays there's like the total opposite.
Yes.
Right. So
absolutely.
So it's really cool to see this out there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great achievement.
I'm gonna have to try that now. And I use I alternate between Mac and Windows, but when I'm on Windows, I use the new Windows Terminal app, which is awesome. I'm gonna have to try that because they have the Azure Perfect. Cloud Shell option. And so that's pretty cool. I love
Perfect.
That.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I have to say that this one started as a good example. So this one started as I think, Valdec, you run into the model where we had a PowerShell instructions, how to enable Office 365 CDN within your tenant.
Correct.
And then
Correct.
It's in PowerShell. Well, PowerShell doesn't work
with
Mac. How do we do that?
Back then, only on Windows. Yeah,
yeah, so exactly.
Each time I wanted to adjust it, I would need to boot up a VM. It was like, really? No, like there's got to be a better way, right? So yeah. like 3 years back, I built this with two commands and now it's 400-ish commands in. Right? And yeah.
Wow.
Still
impressive. Good job.
Thank you.
Excellent job. Now, moving on things related on PowerShell. So this is related on PMP PowerShell, which is going to be PowerShell Core pretty soon. But the reason why we call this out is actually the picture of Irving, for those who know Irving. So Irving had a summer break and he did some weights. He's a father of the PMP PowerShell and basically guidance on how to do image transformation and encoding properly. And then basically taking advantage of the connectivity on the cloud and making things happen. So really cool stuff as well. So connecting to the item and then transforming that to a base 64. So pretty cool. But I just love how Chris is one of the BNP team guys who actually created and edited picture. We've been laughing for that one for a week now. So Can I convert publishing page to a modern experience? So this one is really cool from Paul Bullock. So this is really around the PMP page transformation tooling. Again, open source tooling for transforming from classic SharePoint to modern SharePoint. So you can actually do in-place transformation of things. Uses then PMP PowerShell behind the scenes and really walks through the process of doing that. And if you are in classic SharePoint, please, please modernize yourself. Modernize yourself. You want to use modern SharePoint. I think even Dan was like,
look into my eyes, yep. 3, 2, 1. You want to go to modern?
Yeah. I've done lots of classic back in the day. And yeah, the new way is the way.
Yes, absolutely. Now, beginner's guide on using classic Azure DevOps build process. This is really around SPFX and then build processes with the Node and automation of the deployments with SharePoint framework, which also can be targeted for Microsoft Teams as well. So really cool stuff and automation step by step. And this one is from Laura, Wonder Laura. A lot of people actually know her by that name, but really walking through what is the Lookbook Microsoft.com experience for creating examples, sample content to your tenants. So really cool stuff as well. And what's really cool, and I mentioned this in Twitter earlier today, like a small message for Laura, and then I got retweets from people catching that. We will start supporting simple templates. So actually, as an example, all of those are simple templates. They're just branding templates to be provisioned by a non-admin person. So anybody could can go to the service and then connect to the tenant and provision a site collection based on the template, which is really cool. CSM.NET standard with SharePoint app only principles. So CSM.NET standard APIs were basically provided a week ago. Again, always use Microsoft Graph when possible. But since there's certain old APIs which are not there yet, then there's CSM.NET standard version for addressing that gap. And this walks through the app only story on that one for El Nur. Microsoft Teams messaging extension with authentication access to Microsoft Graph. So really nice story from Marcus Müller related on how to get started, a long blog post walking through the steps and explaining the story on using the Microsoft Teams Yeoman generator for the solution. And then how to build a simple custom property pane using TypeScript for SPFX. It's pretty well hidden, actually. Is it my white screen, maybe, which is causing that? But really walking through the simple custom property pane creation using TypeScript for SharePoint framework. So cool stuff as well from Jenkins. He's been really active nowadays on SharePoint framework side. And then the final was from the new Cloud Advocate, Aika. And she's been writing about Microsoft Graph Toolkit, reusable web components to access Microsoft 365 data. It's kind of an overview article, what it is and why everybody should be aware of that. So really cool stuff. And she announced today that she is part of the team, actually, Dan, your team, right?
I just saw that email this morning. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and there was a few other announcements as well and a few other people. Bob Sherman, I will explicitly call him out because he's part of the BMP team, has been a long-term MVP and a Microsoft employee in the past as well. Good article, by the way, from Aika on this one. And she's been scheduled as a visitor in the upcoming BMP weekly as well. Now, and we're hitting the hour. So do we have a hard stop in a minute or not? Just checking. Do you have a meeting?
I'm good, actually.
Okay, so we can chat a few more minutes without this. This always happens. We just can't do this in 45 minutes or 50 minutes. So, and there's so many articles, so many cool stuff.
Which is good.
Yeah, first thing I got to ask, guys, though, because what did you say you are? Nine hours ahead? 8 hours?
I am 9, Vesa is 10.
Yes, I'm 10. Yeah.
Okay, why is it still light out? No, I'm just kidding.
No, Finland it is.
In Finland it
I'm
is.
Just kidding, yeah.
So this week they have light 24 exactly. hours. The next week is going to be 24 hours dark.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's how it works. Indeed.
No, I was just thinking about that going, it looks like it's noon where you guys are at. And it's like
not so much.
9 or 10 o'clock or something like that.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's one of the things which you appreciate when it's summer, but you hate living in Finland when it's winter because it's just dark, dark.
So you mean like 11 months of a year you hated there?
Every location has its advantages and disadvantages.
That's right.
It is what it is. So, but now, Dan, let's just sum it up and close off the webcast. But if you think about anybody from the community who's like, okay, so that looks like a really interesting job. I always wanted to be a cloud advocate in Microsoft. Any kind of recommendations or hints or ideas where they should be spending their time on?
Yeah. I think, you know, the first thing is obviously you need to be, you can't know everything. And so you got to be willing to admit you don't know everything, because these days you just went through those articles and I'm going, oh my gosh, that's just this week, you know, and there's probably 100 more as well, or more than that.
Yeah.
So I think having the ability to admit that you don't know something is actually a good thing in this type of role, because it's like you said, Waldeck, I'll get back to you, you know.
Yeah.
There's just so much, you know. It used to be, back when I got started, you can know one thing, know it really well, and be good. These days, I mean, it's crazy, right? I think the other thing is just to be really involved with, you know, whether it's speaking opportunities, writing, putting out samples for people on GitHub, for example, to help people out, which a lot of those folks you mentioned are doing that. And, you know, you have the PNP stuff. And so I think anything you can do to be involved with whatever community you like working with is a good thing. And it kind of means, though, that probably you're going to have to go above and beyond what you do at your maybe daily job. So, you know, if today you're just what we'll call it a enterprise developer, let's say, and you don't get many opportunities to do some of these things, then that means, on weekends and nights,
evenings,
step out of your comfort zone and, you know, move into that a little bit more. Because the last thing I'll leave is that I've had a bunch of shows I did earlier before I took this role about entrepreneurial stuff. One of them was called Being an Entrepreneurial Coder. And the general idea was, you know, if you want to make money on the side, and I'm not going to go into that for this discussion, but what I would say is that in that discussion, I mentioned that if you're not willing to put yourself out there and realize that, there's going to be some people that don't like what you do, and there always will be. Yeah. And you just finally get to the point where you're like, okay, you don't like it. Sorry. You learn from it. And then there's some people you can't learn from and you just ignore them. But there are some of those people too. But most people are constructive with their feedback. And so I'll just wrap up by saying, be willing to put yourself out there. Not only is it going to increase your career wherever you're at, but if you want to get into like a cloud advocate type role or developer relations, you kind of have to be willing to put up with some of the noise.
Yeah. And that's actually really good on putting that as well. So, and also, if somebody is providing you negative feedback or gets, let's say, slightly edgy on what you're doing, it means that you're making a difference, because that's the first sign that somebody is actually really seeing, okay, so what are they doing? And I don't like that. And maybe they feel challenged, or maybe they feel jealous about what you're doing, and there will be those negative things as well. But most of the community, especially in the Microsoft side, is really inclusive and trying to be as inclusive as possible. Doesn't matter who you are, where you're from. We want everybody to feel friendly and well taken and welcome to the community. So that's how it should be. So. Anything from your side, Waldeck? Sorry, we've been not giving you a good...
No. I'm here.
Silent, typically.
I'm listening. I'm learning. No. I am not interrupting. I'm listening. I'm learning. It's exactly as you say. And then the one thing that I could add is that typically the one thing that isn't always obvious to, especially devs, is that many devs have the notion like, I build this tool, put it out there, and people will come.
Yeah.
And they don't.
Yes.
Because it's like basically the same thing when you have a job, right? You have a job, so you do your job. But if you run your own company, then, right, like, there's also a part like the admin part of it, like sales and bills and everything around that job. And it's the same thing being a dev, right? If you want to build a product in the open, well, then you have to build the code. It has to do its thing. But you also need to advocate for it. Like, you have to talk about it, write about it, present, and it's rinse and repeat and help onboard people, which is none of these things means building the actual code. Yeah. Right. So it's also, I think it's also this another thing, like when you build something, it is the first step to build something, but then you also have to help everybody to understand, like, why would they care about it? Because it's just one of the exactly. 20 million tools available, right? Yep. So it's the same thing.
Yeah, that's exactly. I mentioned I threw in a OneNote document into Teams, and that's exactly the process I've been going through with Fluid, because you know there's going to be an open source, but that doesn't mean people are going to go, oh, I need to use this, because first off, it's a different way of thinking, and second off, they may be like, oh, I don't need that. Like, what are the use cases? And that means documentation, which is not that fun sometimes. Well, most of the time, but yeah.
Well, yes, and also this first time experience, right? So you want to start, you want to try it. What is your first time experience? Do you pull the code? Sure. Do you have, like, does it work? Are you stuck anywhere? Do you feel dumb or do you feel empowered? Right? All these things, it's small things, and it's as you say, like, it's not the very advanced things, but there's always more novices out there than experts in anything. There are new people who start every day. And that's, I think, right. It's a big part of the job to help these folks, like, give it a try, experience that, and only then say, "Is this is a thing for me or not?"
Yeah, and that's actually a good way of actually putting.
To keep in mind,
absolutely.
You said this earlier, Vesa, is we kind of get so into our technology, the more experience we get, that we tend to forget what it's like to start.
Yeah.
So you have to be able to kind of rewind and walk in those shoes, you know. That's another challenge,
and it's a good way of approaching also and contributing on the community is finding those communities and those projects which are actually supporting that approach. And obviously, as an example, through the BNP, we're providing the Sharing is Caring initiative. It doesn't matter if you want to contribute on our stuff, but there's the Sharing is Caring, which basically is training sessions on starting to use GitHub. So how do I contribute in documents? How do I submit a sample? How do I modify an existing sample? And these are basically scheduled every single week. There's training sessions for people. So if you don't have the experience, please volunteer and go to those sessions, and then you'll learn how to get started. So super valuable as well. Now, watching the time, I think we're a few minutes over the time. So Ping, no, which is not a surprise, to be honest. We're always doing this. But we're still less than 1 hour from overall recording, which is really good. But I think it's time to close up, and that we would be able to continue this discussion probably for a long, long, long time. So, but thank you, Dan. Welcome to Microsoft. Great to have you in the company. I'm looking forward on all of the contributions on the Fluid Framework side and the guidance side on that as well. So,
well, thank you. Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you. And we'll be back with the new PMP Weekly within a week. So cheers.
Bye-bye.
Bye.